Hi, I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to The Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare.
Well, like we've been doing for how many months now? We're going to start with a COVID-19 update.
Well, how do you feel about
one
that?
One nice thing is we've, you know, had the material for it. Oh, when is this going to be over?
Oh, I know. Everybody's thinking that and hoping that.
Right, right. Well, what is the survival rate for COVID-19, Dr. Prather? Updated by the CDC.
Yeah, and one of the things is that is good news. Again, it's a good news type of thing. Of course, anybody who dies from it is of course a tragedy.
Right.
But the survival rate for COVID-19 disease is 99.8% according to the CDC.
99.8%.
99.8%.
That's almost 100%.
Yeah, the flu. Aren't you amazing?
I actually was good at math.
The flu is 99.9%. So, I mean, you know, one of the things that we want to do is to realize, you know, that, of course, the deaths that have occurred with this and the suffering that's mm-hmm. happened is tragic. But we also want to keep this in perspective. The truth is really what's most important with this whole outbreak and trying to get it out there. I remember when they were first coming out and they were talking about a much higher percentage of death rate. Which was
that they
scary.
Were anticipating.
They were anticipating. They it was a brand new type of thing. We didn't know what was going to happen. We thought that there would be an overwhelming of the system. That did not occur. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in retrospect on what was predicted and what we were expecting, this has actually gone much better than I thought it was going to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's still a tragedy, and, you know, it's been very, very hard, not just the disease, but also the lockdown, all the changes that we've had to go through. But, you know, it's good to remember that this does have a 99.8% survival rate, and, you know, it's not the thing that we should be, the amount of fear and panic that has occurred because of this is not really justified.
It is not justified.
It's a serious issue, but locking down the whole country, presidents of Germany and France have both said that the lockdown was unnecessary.
Their lockdown was unnecessary.
We would have been more aware, but you know, when we were looking at the numbers and things like that, I probably would have ordered a lockdown too,
mm-hmm.
with the expectations that we were looking at. But you know, it doesn't seem to have been as necessary. All the precautions, we didn't really take care of the people who should have been taken care of. The nursing homes was really a big area of problems. That's where 40% of all the deaths occurred.
In the nursing
mm-hmm. homes. And really that, having that understanding on that and making some changes along those lines, that's one of the biggest things that's reduced the death rate.
Mm-hmm. So how many Americans are estimated by the CDC have had COVID-19?
Well, you know, of course they've got it out there that, you know, about 8 million people have actually had it confirmed. But they're probably way underestimating it, probably about 10 times. So there could be as many as 80 million people in the United States who've already had COVID-19, which is a very large number.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that's 27% of the U.S. population. We also have found out that 20% of the population just aren't going to get it.
Okay. So 27% of the United States population...
Sure.
Has had it. Okay.
And, you know, when you look at that, that's almost 47%. We're getting close to a possibility of herd immunity from what I can estimate along these
yeah,
lines.
At what point do we reach herd immunity?
60%.
Okay.
So, you know, we're actually could be looking at that. Mm-hmm. Now, that would be great news. Mm-hmm. Then we if we actually have that, we could be over the hump and actually be looking at this thing being over a little bit sooner than what we thought. I was looking at probably, my estimation when this started, it would be a year and a half before we were actually over the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And it could be less than that. Mm-hmm. So we could be looking at just a year or more along those lines than necessarily a year and a half. So we can keep our fingers crossed on that. And again, this is an unknown type of thing. So far, we've been wrong all over the place.
So could it, could we have a second wave? Or
that's the multi-billion dollar question. And, you know, it's Fauci and a lot of the guys along those lines say, oh, yeah, definitely, we're going to have a second wave and we should be prepared for it. But I'm not so sure. Mm-hmm. This could be just, because it's not the flu. You know, they're basing that off of a flu model. Mm-hmm. And this is a different critter, as it's made itself known. So we may not be having a second wave.
Okay. Now, what is the Neil Ferguson model, and how did it pan out?
Oh, my gosh. The Neil Ferguson model had us losing 2 million people here in the United States.
Now, who's Neil Ferguson?
He was a researcher in England who did a modeling type of a structure along those lines. And it was what really scared everybody. That was the reason that we had the whole lockdown in the first place, Europe lockdown. And it's been completely discredited.
Okay.
So the Neil Ferguson model is not taken seriously by any scientists at this point.
Was it?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Matter of fact, I was looking at it, and, it was pretty scary. I'm not quite sure if Neil Ferguson actually took it seriously. He was supposedly have gone into his apartment and locked the door. But then we found out that he was doing social sites where he was bringing in girlfriends on a regular basis. So he wasn't as scared as what we had thought he was.
Okay. Now we know who Neil Ferguson is.
We know who Neil Ferguson is, yes.
Now, how has Sweden fared compared to the United States?
You know, that's the big thing, because Sweden was the bad boy of the world. They were
vilified. Bad because they didn't.
They didn't do. Yeah, they didn't make any rules. Matter of fact, people don't even wear masks there. Mm-hmm. So they did tell them that they couldn't gather in groups larger than 50, and they would leave it up to them to do their own social distancing. They closed no businesses. They had no lockdown. None of those types of things. Now they did have quite a bit of a loss of life at the beginning. But most of that was in the nursing homes, and they admit that they kind of blew that one. Mm-hmm. But there was no overwhelming of the medical system. There was really, quite frankly, when we're looking at their death rate right now compared to ours, it's about the same. Mm-hmm. So, but they didn't really suffer that real severe economic shutdown, didn't close restaurants. Didn't do any of those types of things. They said, we'll just leave it up to you.
What kind of media did they have there?
You're not blaming the media. Well, and also on there, they really didn't make as much of a big deal out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, there was just the Swedes are kind of like steady. They don't get too excited about a whole lot. Mm-hmm. And they were told, it's going to be horrible. At this point, their numbers have just really dropped. Mm-hmm. There is a it's controversial. There are people who are saying that they did actually do the herd immunity.
Yeah.
But Fauci and the others are saying, oh no, never. You know, they're going to have a second wave, and they're going to pay a price for it.
But right now they haven't.
Mm-hmm. The Swedish authorities say, we could be wrong, but we think we're done. Mm-hmm. We don't think that there's going to be a second wave.
And they probably had herd immunity, right? Because they were
You know, and that's a real controversial I mean, people get real excited if they had, you know, in other words, they will, the people who are Fauci and the others really, really don't like you to say that.
The word herd immunity.
Yes, Sweden reached herd immunity.
Okay.
There was also another city in Brazil, Manaus, where they didn't do anything, and basically they had a very high, much higher death rate. There was an awful lot going on there, but it's pretty well gone in that city. So
it,
you know,
hit hard at the beginning.
Really hit hard. And that was one of the models that they looked at for the... there was three models that you can respond to. You just let it go and write it out, which has less of an economic impact, but they were saying would have a higher death rate. There was the one that you had where you locked down everything. And they said that later on you're going to get it because it's still going to go through. And then you had the middle ground, which we tried to do, where shut down some, but keep things going.
The United States.
And, you know, we're really not going to know for 2 years which was the right choice.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of books out.
There's going to be a lot of information in it.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting trying to get the truth of it because, quite frankly, there is a lot of repression. Mm-hmm. Of ideas and things that, you know, you have to follow a certain guideline. As a matter of fact, they're actually talking about making it much more difficult on Facebook and other social media to be able to give alternative views.
Wow.
Which I think is terrible.
It is terrible.
I mean, people should have the right to actually voice reasonable expectations.
Someone needs to start a competitor where...
Well, I mean, you know, it could be just completely, I mean, really the truth of it might be the irresponsibility of the news media, the established media, the one that's been lauded as the truth, might really be the problem as really causing the most sensationalism and false information. So, you know, and but you're very definitely vilified if you don't agree with the standing dogma. That is actually put out.
Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk about COVID-19 long haulers. And
Sounds interesting,
and it's going to be interesting. So we'll be right back.
All right.
You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip featuring Rapid Release Technology.
Well, Dr. Prather, what conditions does the rapid release technology work on?
Carpal tunnel, shoulder issues, where you have restrictions, even like shoulder rotator cuff tears.
Yeah,
very, very excellent on that.
Yeah.
Problems with the pains in the elbow, either golfer's elbow, tennis elbow, all help out tremendously.
Neck pain, low back pain.
Headaches, extremely excellent for headaches.
Yes.
Sciatica, piriformis syndromes, scoliosis even.
Yeah, and we've used it on TMJ even.
TMJ, yes.
We have that big masseter muscle that we need to release. Knee conditions, plantar fasciitis.
Dupuytren's contraction.
Yeah, rapid release has five heads on it, so you can use specifically the smaller heads would be for someone, you know,
for smaller areas, for the hand type of problems along those lines. Any type of scar tissue, post-surgical, trying to get that back to where it needs to be. Basically, almost every type of musculoskeletal condition out there. It's very versatile, amazingly effective, and one of the greatest things is safety. In other words, with the rapid release, you're not going to make something worse.
Right, and it's not painful. We've had quite a few patients buy them for themselves.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
We've had several people who came into our office and said that was the only thing that really helped them. You know, of everything that they had tried before, the dramatic changes along those lines.
Yeah, and someone will say, well, I have this thumper, big massager at home. It's not the same thing.
Right.
Not the same technology.
No, it's not even trying to accomplish the same thing.
Relax muscles and release aches, pains, and tension through rapid-release high-speed vibration therapy. Experience the benefits of rapid-release therapy by scheduling an appointment at the Prather Practice. And to purchase your own, go to our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Click on the rapid-release banner and enter code PRATHER2020 for a $100 discount available to the Voice of Health Radio listeners. The Voice of Health Minute with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
Now, are there risks to wearing masks?
If you're talking about the reality of it, I have had a patient actually faint wearing it because of the lowered oxygen. We also have had four patients who came in who had fallen because they were wearing a mask and they had gotten low on oxygen. So we have four injuries that have occurred because of that, that have, people have come into our office. So there is a problem with the loss of oxygen. People need to be very aware of that. Mm-hmm. I've made my staff aware that they need to watch people as they're wearing masks. And also, you know, if you sneeze or cough into your mask, you're supposed to take it off right away and toss it and put on a new one. Mm-hmm. But you have to wear it because you're out. So you're starting to breathe that in and you're increasing your viral load.
Viral load, yeah.
So it's actually harmful for the person who's actually wearing it. You're just being conscious of the other people.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest.
We're going to talk about COVID-19 long haulers. And Dr. Prather, what is meant by long haulers and where did that term come from?
I do not take credit for that.
Okay.
You kind of said, well, you know, that's kind of a negative term.
Long hauler.
A long hauler. Mm-hmm. And it is, but I didn't make it up. It's a CDC term.
It's a CDC term.
CDC
it's a scientific term.
I guess so. if the CDC says it, the World Health Organization says it, then that's kind of the standard on how they're describing it.
Okay.
And a long hauler is someone who went through the COVID-19, had the symptoms. The worse the symptoms were, the more likely that they would become a long hauler. And so the infection is gone. They've confirmed that the infection is no longer there, but the symptoms are still there.
Hmm.
So it's continued symptoms past the time when their infection is gone. And once they go past 2 weeks of that, then they are then called long haulers.
2 weeks.
After the infection.
Okay.
That they're still experiencing the symptoms because you should be over it in about 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing studies with the, especially in Italy, because they got it earlier than we did.
Mm-hmm.
It's where they're doing it. And it's actually one thing that they're saying, it is becoming what's called myalgic encephalomyelitis.
All right, how many syllables is that?
Syllables. So, and when you actually get into that, it's when you've had it for 6 months,
mm-hmm.
where the long hauler has had it for a much longer period of time, and you're talking about something that's an ongoing type of an issue, that was the myalgic encephalomyelitis is something that's been around for quite a while.
What's the other name for it?
Or? Chronic fatigue.
Okay, chronic fatigue syndrome.
People are very aware of the chronic fatigue. And chronic fatigue is a situation where the it wasn't really taken seriously.
Mm-hmm. The name, chronic fatigue syndrome.
Chronic fatigue.
I remember that, especially women didn't feel like...
they were being taken seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more common in women than in men
mm-hmm.
By about three times. And it is something that we had done a radio program on. What was it, about a year, year and a half, or 2 years ago?
I don't know. Time flies.
It does fly.
Mm-hmm.
But we had done that because the CDC had put out a very strongly worded call to actually start taking this very seriously. Because it was causing about $27 billion loss of finances here in the United States, so it was very costly,
mm-hmm.
Causing a tremendous amount of disability and issues and shortening of lifespan in the people who were actually suffering from it. So they were saying, hey, we're not taking this seriously. This is probably, they had said, it was the most overlooked syndrome that was going on in the United States today.
And so this is something they're seeing now as a long hauler from COVID-19.
It is then also becoming, because The main thing that actually kicks off the myalgic encephalomyelitis, ME-CFS for short, or
chronic fatigue. Can I say that, ME-CFS?
You may say however you would like to. Because it's a lot easier than myalgic encephalomyelitis. It is a...
That'll fatigue you.
That will fatigue you. It is something that really wasn't taken seriously. Wasn't being taught in any medical universities. They were finding that 70% of the people who actually were being diagnosed with that were being dismissed. Mm-hmm. And just said, you know, oh, they're there, dear.
Or it's in your head.
It's, yeah, and the main prescription that they were getting were antidepressants.
Yeah.
And they were basically saying that it was a psychosomatic disease and it really wasn't existing, which has been totally proven wrong. Mm-hmm. And something that a lot of people, and matter of fact, a lot of patients that we have, that's a very common thing that comes into our office. Because they're not finding any help in the traditional medical offices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're going to talk about that, what we've seen. So what are the symptoms of chronic fatigue or ME-CFS? I'll even have trouble with all
those. I know, that's a lot of letters, too. So, you know, the main thing is that it's usually caused by a virus.
Okay.
So let's say you've got mono, Epstein-Barr virus, and then the symptoms actually stay with you even years later. Mm. It becomes myalgic encephalomyelitis if you've had this condition for over 6 months. So it actually attacks the nervous system, the brain itself, and starts to cause mental fatigue. Difficulty thinking, because they find that the oxygenation to the brain actually goes down, and then there's also changes within the actual neuroreceptors, where you actually start to form some glial cells, and I won't get into all the chemistry of that, mm-hmm. but there's a very definite chemical type of reaction that starts to occur in the brain. Once it hits the brain, of course, as we like to say, the nervous system controls everything else. And then you've got a whole homeostasis failure throughout the entire body. So the endocrine system starts to fail. The immune system starts to fail. The myalgic is you start to get pains through the muscles, because even at the cellular level, the ATP, which is the energy packets, start to fail on how they're able to work. So you don't recover once you do some exercise. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to think. Hard to concentrate, and you get fatigued very easily.
You don't
mental
feel
work.
Like exercise, no?
You can't. Actually, exercise makes it worse. Mm-hmm. So also, if you rest doesn't, you don't get the recovery on that. Mm. So people have these cycles where they try to do some work, feel a little bit better, and they have fatigue for several days afterwards where they can't do anything. Mm-hmm. It actually changes postural positions. So we found quite a bit of postural changes in the head, thoracic spine, and in the pelvis. Mm-hmm. So the entire posture of the body actually changes. You also start to have digestive failure, so there's a lot of problems along those lines. Food allergies, sensitivities become very prevalent. People along those lines, if they also take pharmaceuticals, they're much more sensitive to it, and they find that they really encourage the doctors not to give them pharmaceuticals, or if they are giving them, to give them at a half or a third dosage of what they normally would, because people have very strong reactions along those lines. Mm. It also then can lead to immune system problems, which then develops into autoimmunity. So a lot of people will develop different Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis. MS is a very common thing that occurs. All those different types of things. Lupus is a very type of thing that starts to develop. But it first starts with the viral infection, and then there's something that goes wrong on the body's ability to handle it, and it starts to affect the brain, then it goes through the entire system and causes quite a devastating type of effect.
And so they're finding this, like COVID's been Oh, we're past 6 months. We're past 6 months, so they're seeing,
this
long hauler.
Matter of fact, they're actually finding that 35% of the people are becoming what they call long haulers.
People that have had COVID.
People who have had COVID. Matter of fact, we've got them in our office.
Yeah.
With showing all these different types of symptoms after having COVID.
I talked recently to a young lady. She's in her early 20s. Felt like she was 80 years old.
Right.
And we were able to help her.
Yeah. Wasn't able to work. These people, you're getting it in children, too. Mm-hmm. Young adults. Again, it's more common in females by about 3 times. And when she came in, she graduated from college, but she didn't think she was going to be able to work. A tremendous number of them are going on disability because they aren't able to. We were able to get her pain under control, get her energy back up, mm-hmm. and she's now got getting a teaching job, mm-hmm. Working along those lines and just loving it. And we've got quite a few patients with this at this point. All of them are females. Mm-hmm. We're talking about 19. We're talking about 20. I've got another one who is 15. Mm-hmm. And they're just not able to even go to school, mm-hmm. which is a very, very tough type of thing because, and the doctors aren't taking it seriously, saying, well, it's all psychosomatic, there isn't anything wrong, but it's if you do the diagnosis, if you sit there and really check on these patients, mm-hmm. it's very obvious, and when you start to make progress on them, they do go back to, they want to actually start their life again.
Right.
And it's not a matter of that they're having problems. I mean, sure, they become, one of the things that starts to occur is anxiety and depression, but the other came first. That's a secondary type of a problem.
Right, when you're feeling this crummy.
Right.
Right? I mean, sleep doesn't help, exercise doesn't help. That's going to create depression.
And you can't even anxiety. Think straight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that's very true that's a big problem with doctors is oftentimes they don't take women as seriously as men.
Right. Mm-hmm. I agree. When we come back, more in this COVID-19 long haulers.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Laughter is the best medicine.
Richard Simmons, see, there's one of the reasons why health food never caught on, man. They had the lamest spokespeople. They had John Denver for Grape Nuts, Wilford Brimley, the Jolly Green Giant. These aren't exactly the manliest of men here. The worst is the Quaker Oats man. Now, oatmeal's supposed to be one of the best things you can get your kids to eat, but their mascot's somebody you wouldn't let your kids talk to. It's an old dude wearing a powdered wig and man stockings. If you saw him on the playground trying to talk to your kids, you'd be calling up Chris Hansen from Dateline. He'd be like, what's that in the bag? It's oatmeal. Like, get out of here, creep. I was going to make breakfast. Bet you were, sicko.
The Voice of Health Minute with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
Stress can be taken care of in a lot of different types of ways. Mm-hmm. One of the most common things that I'm giving to people is adrenal support. There's ground up adrenals put into a tablet. Supplementation is basically concentrated food that you wouldn't eat normally. In the Bible, they talk about the fat portion over the kidneys as the most valuable portion, and that was something that you're supposed to sacrifice to God because it was very valuable, because it was used at that time as a medicine. There's herbals that we give people. There's all sorts of different types of things, and as we give those to people and we recheck their blood test, all of a sudden their stress syndrome is under control. And quite frankly, everyone out there, even if they're doing the exercise, getting their sleep, and they're eating right, those things are all important. Everyone is needing extra help at this time to handle this.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. Are you frustrated by not getting to the root cause of your health issue? Are you tired of not knowing why you're always fatigued? Are you wanting to say no to toxic drugs? Have you lost hope? Are you just tired of being sick and tired? At the Prather Practice, we want you to know that we have the answers for you. We offer the alternative to the disease care model. We are the drug-free model to health and wellness. At the Prather Practice, we look for the underlying cause of your health problem and not just the symptomatology. Through thorough diagnostics, we find your individual health blueprint for your treatment. Where the disease care model is symptom-based, the structure-function model we practice gets to the root of your health issue. The Prather Practice is the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest. Our integrated practice offers you the most treatment options to restore your health and your hope. Learn more about the Prather Practice by calling 317-848-8048 or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue.
We're talking about COVID-19 long haulers, a term that the CDC gave, right? These are after COVID-19's been around over 6 months now.
Right.
And they're finding some similar symptoms that are still affecting people. Right,
absolutely.
2 weeks after the infection.
Absolutely. The myalgic encephalomyelitis has been around for quite a while. It was before SARS coronavirus 2 actually became known.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, again, about 2.5 million Americans already had that before this started. But they expect the numbers to increase quite dramatically because of this virus that seems to be really kicking up a large number of the people who actually had it. So, you know, we were talking before and being optimistic that we might be over this, but then we've got this problem showing up. Something, again, that we're not aware of. And this whole SARS virus, coronavirus, is something that is new. We don't know everything about it. We don't know the extent of what kind of problems it's going to cause. But we do know that there are some things that we haven't found out about it that could give us a long-term types of problems, and something that we need to figure out how to address.
Mm-hmm. So how serious is chronic fatigue?
Well, one of the things that they were saying about the chronic fatigue or the myalgic encephalomyelitis is that it can shorten the lifespan of an individual usually by 25 years. Which is very serious. And also cause complete disability in the person where they're not productive in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So it pretty well, you know, it ruins a life beforehand, which is a burden on them and a burden on others, and then also shortens their life. So it is something to be taken seriously, and something that we as healthcare professionals need to be aware of, and then actually really taking that seriously with the cases that we find.
Right. And I want to let listeners know, I mean, there is hope. We see changes, and we're going to talk about
amazing
that.
Changes, right. Yes.
So what physiological and structural changes occur with chronic fatigue?
Well, you know, one of the things is that they're actually finding that the structure of the individual actually changes.
Mm. So, what do you mean by that?
You're supposed to have normal curves. There's a straightening of the thoracic spine.
Mm-hmm.
There's a tilting in the pelvis that usually occurs. There is a malposition of the head on the neck. So it's actually changing the posture of the individual.
What's your theory on that? Is the nervous system?
Yeah, it controls the nervous system, and the nervous system controls the posture.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, when the posture changes, that puts extra pressure on the nervous system, so it's a vicious cycle. The other things that they've already shown is the output of the heart actually decreases quite a bit. So you're not getting the oxygen throughout the body. So that there's a fatigue that occurs with that. There's some heart problems that are showing up in quite a few athletes after they've had it.
Mm-hmm.
You're also talking about digestive systems. They're finding that the digestive flora, the lymph nodes are swelling throughout the body. There's a change in the pH of the cells and in the blood that occurs, and that's one of the reasons that you get the fatigue with the muscles and get the pains throughout the body, because the entire body is poisoned at that point, and you can't get rid of the normal types of things that occur when you exercise. You know, the toxins that causes the lactic acid buildup, remains in the system and remains in the muscles and causes pain throughout. You know, so it's a pretty extensive. Basically, they say every part of the homeostasis of the body starts to fail, where the body goes out of balance, both physically, both structurally, and functionally.
Okay, so what is the medical treatment for chronic fatigue?
Nothing.
Maybe an antidepressant, you were saying.
Antidepressant. And what's a problem with this is that they have a very hard time taking pharmaceuticals. So even the antidepressant usually causes more problems than it helps. So, you know, as the pharmaceuticals have been a very poor choice along those lines, and they actually are recommending a totally different course.
So why is homeostasis so important in chronic fatigue?
Homeostasis is the whole thing that starts to go off. And homeostasis is the way that you have to approach that. So basically, when you're talking about, you know, two different ways of actually approaching it, this is something that is does not respond, will not respond at this point to a pharmaceutical solution. They are looking at possibilities along these lines, but at this point, all pharmaceuticals actually make this situation worse. So we have to find a different way of actually doing that, and trying to achieve homeostasis is the best way to do that.
So can structure function care be an answer for chronic fatigue? We practice at the Prather practice the structure function.
Structure function care is the only answer to chronic fatigue or myalgic encephalomyelitis. That's the only way that you can get any relief, any results. And the results that we find in our office are quite remarkable, as the patients have said.
Okay, so let's talk about that, because we have seen changes in people, remarkable changes with this debilitating condition, disease. So let's talk about chiropractic. Why is chiropractic critical for chronic fatigue? You talked about the nervous system, which chiropractic works on.
And this has been classified by the World Health Organization and by the CDC as a nervous system disease. So you have to approach it through the nervous system. And one of the things that this kicks off is structural changes caused by the nervous system problem. So you have to change the structural changes in there and bring that back into alignment to have any type of a hope of getting this under control. So going after the nervous, going after it chiropractically, especially the atlas orthogonal, seems to have
For our listeners that might be new, that's a type of adjustment we do called the atlas orthogonal. We use x-rays to analyze.
Precise upper cervical type of.
And you're the only board certified atlas orthogonist in the state of Indiana.
Correct.
But I want to make sure our listeners knew about that.
Yeah, it's a very light type of technique. Excellent. And the patients with this condition can tell an immediate difference. And we always say that the absolutely first thing to be able to make any types of changes, if you don't provide the chiropractic care, you aren't going to see anything else change.
Let's talk about... did you have anything else to say before I move on to the next? Okay, acupuncture. Can acupuncture be helpful?
Well, one of the things that happens is a decrease in the ATP and the energies of the body. So the electromagnetic fields of the body actually collapse, and that's actually where a lot of the pain's coming from. Matter of fact, I bring in some of our massage therapists and some of the other therapists that we have, and I said, you know, you can feel their body and you can feel the electromagnetic charge on that. And they go put their hands on there, and they say, oh, my gosh, I can. That's crazy. And we do the acupuncture, and we see an immediate change in the pain levels, and also it helps with the structural changes. So the acupuncture is a treatment along the electromagnetic fields, and that is really the second most important thing as you're working with these patients to be able to accomplish. So you have to get the alignment first, for everything else to work, but then the second most important thing, and this really takes up almost all the pain in the body.
The acupuncture.
The acupuncture does.
Yeah, I love my acupuncture.
and it increases the energy of the body. So the patients that we have doing that, when they actually get the acupuncture treatments, and one of the things is I was having quite a few patients coming in with this, and we found a technique with the acupuncture on how we're doing it. It's a very specialized type of way that really seems to make a difference. Mm-hmm. A lot of them have gone to other acupuncturists, didn't really get the results, but the technique is especially important that you do it right to actually get those types of changes. And that's where we really get the pain level down. So we really get rid of that myalgia that's occurring throughout mm-hmm. the body. Because if you don't, that's constantly going to wear out the system.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about rehab. What place does rehab play in chronic fatigue?
Very, very important, because then you have to rebuild the body's ability to actually function.
And you can't treat a chronic fatigue patient like an orthopedic patient, because no. You have to be real gentle.
It's a gradual, mm-hmm. what they've said, and they've acknowledged that really this type of treatment actually works the best. It's a gradual increase of their function. Mm-hmm. So you need to get things stretched out. You need to get things mobilized. You need to help them get their posture corrections so that the muscles actually stay there. One of the things is kinesio taping really helps. Mm-hmm. Lymphatic drainage to keep that loosened up. Yeah. And that helps with the immune system.
Keep that moving.
Mm-hmm. And again, if you're going to make the progress along those lines, you have to have rehab in their program.
Mm-hmm. But not pain aggressive. And torture. Not aggressive.
Not aggressive.
All right. When we come back, we're going to continue to talk about structure function care for chronic fatigue.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
I know you always say that you're as young as your kidneys are.
Yes, that's absolutely true. There are several different factors that determine biological age. Lungs are probably the best indicator of how long you're going to live, but the kidneys are number two. And you can do blood tests to find out exactly what your kidney age is, and that has a huge effect on how long you can live. And in fact, I can look at those two markers on your lung function test and then your kidney disease and pretty well predict on how long you have to live. You know, whether you're going to live into your 90s or 80s or 70s is pretty much determined by those two things. There is biological age testing associated with the kidneys. As we look at that, that's a very, very big factor and something that isn't really that well controlled medically. When you're talking about people who are in stage four of chronic kidney disease, where they're actually ready for dialysis, almost 50% of the people who are in stage four aren't even diagnosed.
They're missing 50%.
50% are not diagnosed and should be.
And why is that?
Very good question. One of the things is I get people in and I look at their blood work, and I said, well, you know, it looks like we're having some problems here. We need to do some further testing. The testing from the average medical doctor is very, very poor. If you don't test it, you don't know. People have been going to doctors for years and years and not getting the proper tests to find out if you have kidney disease. The recommendations from the CDC is that everyone really from about the age of 40 on up should be tested to on a yearly basis on the functioning of their kidneys.
And that's why we promote the blood test, the Prather profile, at least once a year, because you said sometimes there's no symptoms.
Sure. It's non-invasive.
Yes.
It's an easy type of thing to do, and it gives a world of information. This is an extremely underdiagnosed disease process, and it is a definite healthcare crisis in America. To be frank with you, everybody who has diabetes and hypertension has an underfunctioning kidney that needs to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
If you have hypertension, if you have diabetes, you're damaging your kidneys. It is rare to see someone with a really, really healthy kidney.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's really functioning as it at the high level that it should be.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
Don't stop.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients.
We're talking about COVID-19 long haulers, things that are happening 6 months after now that COVID and that they're seeing, being chronic fatigue syndrome. The new name for it?
Myalgic encephalomyelitis.
All right.
It sounds more important than chronic fatigue.
It does. And, you know, and they were fine and they weren't taking it serious.
Right, and they actually had a big committee. They met for a year to determine what the name would be.
Mm-hmm. And now no one can pronounce it. Only you.
Sounds more serious.
Sounds like what committees do. All right, so we've been talking about structure function treatment. We have seen a lot of success in our office.
This condition, yes.
Yes. So we've been talking about chiropractic, the importance of chiropractic, the nervous system, acupuncture, rehab, corrective exercise. Let's talk about supplementation. Why is supplementation so important?
Well, we have to bring about homeostasis. So, you know, we need to get the liver working correctly. We need to give the energy to the cells so that they can have effective ATP. When you're going through this, this actually wears out the body because you have a higher level of nutrients that you actually need at that time. So it's going to wear out the zinc especially. Mm-hmm. It's going to wear out the B vitamins. It's going to lower your vitamin D. It's going to lower your vitamin A. So all of those things are very important to get that back up at par, because you're probably going to, definitely, you're going to have some nutritional deficiencies because you are going through this disease, even if you didn't have them before. So looking at that is very, very important to know which ones are going on and how to actually correct them. The other thing is homeopathy. When you're talking about a viral infection and then the effects of that lasting through the system, you have to be able to stop the immune reaction that's abnormal.
Mm-hmm.
Because the virus is no longer there, but you're still having the reaction. Homeopathy is like an allergy type of a shot where you give a little tiny bit of something, and then that helps to stop the reaction of the body. That's an abnormal reaction, and that's what's going on. So what we do is we actually give a very slight charge of that particular virus. The body recognizes it and stops this cytokine response that it's having.
With no side effects.
With no side mm-hmm. effects. So it either works or it doesn't, and we see some very dramatic changes along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
So the homeopathy is absolutely critical. The nutritional types of works along those lines. And then the areas of trying to boost the system with the herbals and helping to detox it really is an essential part of getting this under control. So it has to be a total package. You can't sit there and say, well, I'm only going to do one part of this. It's not going to give you the relief that you need.
Because mm-hmm. it's affecting so much in the body.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We give a lot of options to people. But when it comes to, if we recognize that this is truly myalgic encephalomyelitis, we say, no, you have to do all of this, and it's absolutely critical that you do it as a package. Otherwise, we're not going to have the results.
Yeah. So what diagnostics help to determine what supplements to give?
And that's critical, because mm-hmm. you have to know exactly which ones to give, because you can give too much of anything. So you have to know the ratios. So you have to know what the mineral balance is. You have to know what the vitamin balances are. And you can actually do the lab test to actually determine that. So it's not like we're guessing on what to give to people. We're not saying, mm-hmm. hey, and quite frankly, it's different from person to person. There isn't a set type of a pattern along those lines on what they need. So the diagnostics, we are absolutely essentially tied to the diagnostics to be able to find the answers for the individuals who are coming in for this. And we do the diagnostics. We're extremely thorough on that.
So why is blood work so important?
Well, blood work shows up the function of the body, the physiology. It tells us how the liver's working, the kidneys are working, how the immune system's working. It shows up the problems that are going along this line. One of the things that's very exciting about the myalgic encephalomyelitis is that they believe that they now have a blood test that actually shows whether you have it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a process that will show up how the ATP is firing, which is the energy packets of the body. And if it's not working correctly, it shows up in this blood test and has been at this point 100% confirmatory for those people who have it.
And are they using it?
It's still in the research phase. It's extremely promising.
Mm-hmm.
It is not out there for the general public at this point. So the diagnosis has to be done through clinical evidence and methodology that the CDC actually provides exactly how to diagnose it. But it is going to be something that I feel that this is going to pan out, and we're going to have a confirmatory blood test for it, which will really help with this whole situation.
What role does the gut play with chronic fatigue?
Well, the gut fails during the chronic fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
There's a massive amount of changes. There's a lot of die-off of probiotics. So we always want to get, as the National Institute of Health said in their research, the immune system starts in the gut. And we have to have the gut information to be able to get this under control. And that's one of the things that we definitely check on.
And hair analysis.
Hair analysis, it's a tissue analysis because it could be hair, nail, or other different types of tissue. And what that does is it shows the mineral, heavy metal toxicities that could be in there that would be out of balance, that would need to be corrected. And almost always in these situations, we do have a pattern that usually follows.
Okay.
Shows up.
So who's at risk for chronic fatigue?
The people who are at risk for chronic fatigue, the most common people that actually hit it are young ladies.
Mm.
Who have had a viral infection that really hit them hard. So you're commonly finding really from about, the most common is 18 to 35, mm-hmm. which is the prime time of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And it really puts them in a very difficult situation. Those are the main people that we're finding as an issue. But for most of these people who are going through the COVID-19, the more severe the symptoms, the more likely you are to actually develop this after you've gotten over the infection.
So what should someone do if they suspect they have the chronic fatigue?
First, people that you should go to is a structure function doctor and mention this to them, and then they can actually go through the diagnostics. They can go to the CDC. CDC has a whole training method to actually go through that. So if the doctor is not familiar with it, they can go there and hopefully find somebody who can actually then refer them to someone who knows how to actually work with this.
Mm-hmm. So what should be done to avoid chronic fatigue? We have 1 minute left.
Okay, the best thing to do is keep yourself healthy. Most common problem along those lines that kicks off viral infections is the same as for the SARS coronavirus 2 that's actually going around. You need to keep your zinc level up. You need to keep your vitamin D level up, vitamin A. You need to get plenty of sleep and exercise, live a healthy life, avoid sugar, all those important things. But even then, you might be someone who actually does get it. And if you do, the sooner you can get on it and get those things fixed, that's the best way to do it. And you have to go through it through homeostasis on making the body stronger. Pharmaceuticals do not have an answer.
Okay. So we have seen great results. What we practice is structure function care at the Prather Practice. And what we're doing is helping the body reach homeostasis.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Prather, as always. Very informative.
Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate it.
The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.